Before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to bless the reading of his word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, we're thankful that we can be here this evening. Lord, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your Holy Spirit. We're thankful for that spirit that unites us and that bonds us together. We're thankful, God, for the spirit that teaches us, leads us, guides us, and directs us, illuminates our mind. And Lord, we just come to you with humble hearts this evening and ask you, Lord, to help us as we look into your word. I pray, God, that you'd help me to say things that you want me to say things that are necessary and needful. I pray that we would be built up and strengthened in the faith and we'd be edified, and we'll thank you for it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope you're already there in your Bibles, Proverbs chapter number 23, and we're going to read verses 15 down to verse number 26, and just be looking for the phrase in verse number 23, where Solomon says, of course, he is the human author of this verse here, or the book here. He says, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not." I'd like to speak to you this evening on truth for sale. Truth for sale. Verse number 15. "My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak of right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and the drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto the father that begat thee, and despise not the mother, thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." I believe verse number 23 kind of encompasses everything that Solomon was trying to say here. Solomon, of course, is speaking to his son. He's trying to guide him in the right way, trying to keep him away from the wrong kinds of influences, people that would steer him in the wrong way, influence him to do wrong kinds of things like winebibbers and these different kinds of people. If you were to read the rest of the chapter, we would see that he talks more about the prostitute, about the drunkard, and the things that go along with drunkenness. But he says in verse number 23, he says, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not." Well, when you sell something, you don't just get rid of it, you don't receive something back, you don't create a vacuum of nothingness whenever you sell something. If you're going to sell something, you give whatever you've got to somebody else, and then they give you something else that you believe in your mind could be of very significant importance or value to you. You get something back. You put it up for sale. We all know about a man named Judas Iscariot in the Scriptures. Judas Iscariot in the Scriptures sold Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. He sold the truth incarnate for 30 pieces of silver. And after he had done this, he greatly regretted that he had sold the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes to the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, the ones who he had betrayed Jesus to, and he tried to undo what he had done. He said, "Look, I don't want this blood money on my hands anymore. I don't want it. Take it back." Chief priests and the scribes gave him an answer back like, "What is that to us? It's not our problem. You see about that. That's your problem."
Judas went out and greatly regretted what he had done by selling the Lord Jesus Christ, and he went out and hanged himself. He killed himself. Judas sold the truth that he had in his possession. About the last three and a half years, he had walked with Jesus and talked with Jesus and saw the miracles and heard him teach, heard him preach. He had prayed with him. He had done all of these things, walked around his earthly ministry. But then he betrayed Jesus. He sold him. The Bible says that Judas went to his own place. Well, let me tell you something. That place was not heaven. Amen. Judas went to hell. Amen. Judas, if he would have treasured Jesus more than anything that he possessed, if he would have loved Jesus, if he would have done this, he wouldn't be burning in hell right now, but he's in hell because he sold the truth. Amen. He sold our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Solomon is writing to his son, and he says, look, son, I've told you some things. I've given you instruction. I've given you some advice. I've told you lots of instructions to do. I hope that you don't sell that. I hope that you don't trade it out. I hope that you don't sell it out for something else that you find more tantalizing or more valuable. I hope that you hold on to that truth that I've given to you. I hope that you don't get rid of it, because you're living and it looks like what is some really bad influences from what Solomon says. Solomon mentions the glutton. He mentions the wine bibber. He mentions the prostitute in verse number 27. And he instructs his son about the truth, and he instructs his son about the end results of that. If he would sell the truth, he tells him about what the end result would be of all of those people that he had been talking about. And it's not a good end result. And those people that he was around, those influences that he was around, wouldn't have given him the truth. The glutton's not going to give you good advice. He's going to get an early death. Drunkard's not going to give you good advice. He's going to end his life as well as others, probably. And he says, don't sell the truth. I've taught you some good things. Please don't sell the truth. We live in an age, in a time in history, and it's probably been this way throughout all of history, but children, adults, people that we're easily influenced by ungodliness, by our society that we're surrounded by. And they're selling the truth. They may have gotten the truth at one time or another. They received the truth at church or at home or their parents or whatever it might be. But now they're selling the truth. They're exchanging the truth for ungodliness. They're exchanging the truth for apostasy and unbelief. They're selling it off to the highest bidder. They're putting it out for sale, saying, hey, whoever wants this, I've got some truth for sale. Why don't you come and take it? I'm looking for something different. I don't like this truth that I've been taught. They're auctioning off the truth, and they're exchanging the truth for something that feels a lot better to them, or something that makes a little bit more sense to them. The truth is for sale. They're selling it off. I'd encourage you this evening, look, don't sell the truth that you've been given. Hold on to the truth. Don't sell the truth. This evening, I'd like to give you three reasons why you shouldn't sell the truth, and then a charge. Number one, you shouldn't sell the truth because it's valuable, because of the content. Hey, the truth that you got is valuable. You may not see the value in the truth that you have in the Scriptures, the truth that you have in church, the truth that you have in God, but it's very valuable. He says in verse number 23, he says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. So in addition to truth, Solomon also adds wisdom, instruction, and understanding. And I believe that he adds these things to truth because he's trying to point out the value of this truth. Because if you don't have those other three things coupled along with truth, then the truth is not going to be too valuable to you. Wisdom, instruction, and understanding. What is wisdom? Wisdom is being able to apply the knowledge that you have. Right. All of the head knowledge in the world does no good to you if you're not able to apply it to your life. That's wisdom. I mean, you know, you could tell me a lot about rocket ships, and I can have all that knowledge swimming around in my head, know all of those things, but it ain't going to do me a bit of good on a spaceship because I don't know nothing about a spaceship. I can't apply it. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Then he gives us instruction. Instruction is knowledge or information that is imparted to you. Information given to you. Then he gives us understanding. What is understanding? Understanding is being able to grasp the things that you have been given. I'm able to comprehend. It's a comprehension deal. Understanding and knowing how that is, relates to God and to your fellow man. So you're given words of truth. You know how to apply those words of truth, and you're able to grasp all of those things. And if you have something like that, if you have some truth that you have grasped and you understand it and someone has given it to you and you're able to apply it to your lives, boy, that is something that's valuable. That is something that's priceless. Not everyone has wisdom, instruction, or understanding. Not everyone does. That's something that's special. That's something that is very valuable. Truth must come to you. Divine truth must come from an outside source. It's not just floating around somewhere. It's not easy to come by. God must give you that divine revelation, as we heard about in Sunday school this morning. We heard about Peter's confession. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus' answer was, "Well, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." He got that from a divine source. God the Father had given him all of that. Here in our chapter, in verse number 4, Solomon tells his son, he says, "Cease from thine own wisdom." You're going to have to cease from your own wisdom if you're going to be able to understand and grasp this divine wisdom. This wisdom, this truth is something that's valuable, precious to us. Something that is applied. So truth is precious. It's not plentiful. I mean, you don't go out to the seashore and find pearls laying all over the side of the seashore, do you? You can't do that. No, you got to go deep sea diving, get down there and find a clam and dig that pearl out, because they're not all over the place. I mean, if you found pearls all over the side of the seashore, they wouldn't be very valuable, because everybody's got one. I mean, you don't find gold under every rock. You got to mine for gold. You got to look for gold. You got to pan for gold. You got to get down on your hands and knees and really look for gold. It takes diligence and it takes work. You don't find truth on every bookshelf. You don't find truth in every church. You don't find truth in every television or radio station, every philosopher, every religious guru. But yet that's the way that Americans live today. Well, there's truth everywhere. Everyone has the truth. Pick up anybody. Well, this must be true. Somebody wrote it. It's on the internet. It must be true. Somebody published it. It must be true. But we must buy the truth and don't sell it, because this truth is valuable. Valuable. I've asked you this evening, if you were to order an item from the mail and it had to be assembled and it came with instructions, would you just toss those instructions out? Maybe sell them? Something valuable on the internet? I'm going to sell these instructions. I mean, something complicated. I'm not talking about these little click pieces and stuff like that. I'm talking about some real complicated directions. You know, I can remember whenever my kids were growing up, I was probably back in my 20s, I ordered something from the mail, and it came in the mail, and you know how guys are. As soon as something comes in the mail, you just take it apart, start trying to put it together, you throw the directions over here. You don't look in instructions if you're a man. You just start putting stuff together. And my wife had to sit there in frustration as I got frustrated and I got angry, because there I am trying to put something together and I haven't looked at the instructions. And then she got to watch me disassemble the same item and reassemble the same item probably more than once after I finally picked up the instructions. Why would you go around selling the instructions that you've been given? The Bible is a handbook for life. And we have instructions for every facet of life. But people are selling this book for something else that's going to mess their life up and just try to put their, or show them how to put their life together in some kind of crooked fashion, some kind of weird fashion, and they don't realize the value of the truth that they have. We must value this truth that we have. Value this truth over worldly wisdom, because we have the wisdom of God. The wisdom of this world, the Bible says, is earthly, sensual, devilish. The Bible tells us about this book and about the judgments of God in Psalm chapter number 19. He says, "The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold." You understand the content that you have and the preciousness that you have in the Word of God? The truth that you have, we must not sell it because of its contents, but we must also not sell it because of its character, where it comes from. Verse number 23, Solomon says, "Hearken, hearken, hearken unto the father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." You better not sell that truth because of where it came from. It's pretty valuable. It didn't come from just anywhere. Solomon says, it came from your mother and your father, the father that begets you, your mother that took care of you. That's the context here, earthly parents. There's a lot of teachers in this world. There's a lot of people in this world. There's lots of religious gurus, lots of teachers, all of that. But I would question the character of some of them. You know why? Because of their nature. Where they came from. They have not been born again. They do not have the same kind of mindset as someone who has been born again. I would not recommend all of the ideologies, all of the philosophies of this world. And I would not recommend all of the parents of this world. But for a father or a mother who is following the Lord and who truly desires to teach his children right or her children right, I'd recommend that to anybody. You better listen to your mother and your father. They're trying to teach you right. They're trying to steer you in the ways of the Lord. Now, I hope you listen to the qualifications that I placed on that. Someone who's following the Lord. Someone who believes the Word of God. No parent is perfect. They're all going to make mistakes. And there are some parents, I understand, there are some parents who claim to be Christians who don't deserve to be Christians. I understand that. But the Bible places the Christian mom and dad as a guide for their kids. Show them the right way. Teach them the right way. Solomon in the book of Proverbs tells over and over and over again, look, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to your mother. Listen to your father. You better not let go of that truth. Why? Because of where it came from. Where it came from. He says, hearken to the father that begat thee. Hearken means to listen to what's being said. Take it to heart. Listen to that father that gave you life. Listen to that father that brought you into the world. Listen to that father that loves you and takes care of you. Listen to that man. Not another father, to your father. Your father. But yet we have kids all over the United States, and they ain't listening to their dad. They ain't listening to their mother. They're listening to somebody else that they don't even know and doesn't care about them and doesn't care what happens to them. They're not listening to their father that begat them. He says, listen to your father. He says, despise not thy mother when she is old. What about that mother? That mother who nursed you. That mother who took care of you whenever you were sick. That mother that changed your diapers when they were dirty. That mother who stayed up with you all night. That mother who went into the jaws of death to bring you into this world. Take care of that mother. That mother. Don't despise her. You got parents here today and they love you. Godly parents. You ought to treasure what they teach you. something that's valuable because, hey, it came from someplace. It was my mom and my dad. You better listen. You'll be sorry if you don't. Because of the character of that truth. What about your Heavenly Father? What about that truth He's given you? Your Heavenly Father gave you all the truth that you have. It didn't come floating out of the air from nowhere. It came from our Heavenly Father. The truth that we possess, the truth about salvation, we have because of our Heavenly Father. That Heavenly Father that loves us. That Heavenly Father that takes care of us. That Heavenly Father that raises us. That Heavenly Father. We have that because of Him. All truth, all wisdom, all instruction, all knowledge comes from our Heavenly Father. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the truth, He says. Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. He says about the Holy Spirit that He is the Spirit of truth. All of those things came from the Heavenly Father. They all came from Him. Why would you sell it? Why would you get rid of it? Why would you throw it away? Why would you sell it? Don't sell it. Buy the truth and sell it not. We are said to be of the truth. Boy, if you have the truth. If you have the truth, I'd encourage you to hold on to it. I'd encourage you not to let it go. Don't stick a sign outside your heart saying for sale. Don't let the world have it. Don't trade it in for a big pile of rags, a big bucket of dung. Keep it. Keep it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Would God steer you in the wrong direction? Would the Bible steer you in the wrong direction? Wouldn't do it. But the world would. The world don't care about you, but God does. Don't sell the truth. We must not sell the truth because of its content. We must not sell the truth because of its character, but we must also sell the truth because of its completion. What is the end result of truth? There's an end result for the unsaved and the saved. For both sides of the coin, there is an end. Look at verse number 18. For surely there is an end. Thine expectation shall not be cut off. There is an end. There is an end to rejecting the truth. There is an end to selling the truth. There is an end to keeping the truth. There is an end. Solomon tells his son, look, don't envy sinners. Don't look to them for advice. Don't follow their pattern of life. Don't do those things. Don't envy sinners. I'd say to you this evening that the temptation that Solomon's son faced is just as bad in our day as it was in his day. Boy, the world sure does look good. Sure does look like they're having a good time. I think I'll go that way. Hey, they're getting away with being rebellious. It's fine. They look like they're enjoying themselves. I'll go that way. He says, don't envy sinners. Don't do that. More access for our children today than there ever has been in the entire human history. You can look on every social media and internet account and find how the rest of the world lives. How do celebrities live and athletes live and religious leaders, how they all live. Boy, it's just like a big lust machine. Oh boy, I sure do wish I had that life. It'd be easy for them to envy the lives of rebellious sinners. Really easy, but I tell you something, there is an end. Doesn't matter whether it looks good right now or not, there is an end. There is an end to all of that. The sinner has an expected end or hope, but the Bible says that his hope will be cut off. He thinks he's going to get away with it. He thinks that he's going to be able to live a life of rebellion against God and get away with it. Solomon says in verse number 21 that the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. That's his end. Verse number 27, those who lust after strange women, his life ends up in a pit. Verse 29 to 30, the drunkard has woe and sorrow and contention and babblings. That's the end for the drunkard. Verse number 33, when you engage in that kind of stuff, your eyes will behold strange women, women that don't belong to you. That's the end for that. Verse 34 and 35, you wake up from a night of drunkenness and you wake up and you don't know what happened to you. I got all these bruises and knots and a broken nose and I don't even remember how I got it. That's the end for the drunkard. Now that's the completely opposite picture of the world that the world paints. The world encourages that kind of behavior. The world promotes that kind of behavior. The world monetizes that kind of behavior. Are you kidding me? That's the kind of money, that's the kind of stuff that Americans spend money on. To be entertained. That's what we want. Drunkenness. The secular world encourages and condones sexual immorality. The secular world encourages and condones unbiblical values and commandments and all of that. The secular world encourages wild nights of drunkenness and partying. That's the kind of stuff that they promote. The secular world encourages disobedience to parents. The secular world encourages disobedience to authority. The secular world makes fun of preachers and pastors. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ. But surely there is an end. There is an end. Death and destruction and misery is coming. Stay away from those kind of people. What happens when a person sells the truth? Well, Solomon says they become ashamed of their parents. Proverbs 10:1 says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Some kids don't care about the shame that they're going to bring upon their parents and the burden they're going to bring upon their parents. But that's what happens when you sell the truth. They won't listen and obey. But what about the end for the wise child? What about that end? Verse 15 says, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Makes a joyful father. I can tell you from a Christian standpoint, a Christian father, that's the most important thing that I desire for my children, is for them to be wise and them to serve the Lord and them to have a good life. That would make me the most happy thing. It'd be great if they were millionaires, but more than anything, I want my kids to be saved. I want them to be Christians. Verse 16, he says, yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak of right things. Boy, when you see your kids saying right things and doing right things, boy, doesn't that make your heart just swell up with joy on the inside? He says, my reins shall rejoice. That's his innermost being. That's what you love the most. A wise child will make a joyful parent. Boy, don't sell the truth. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. You think of the prodigal son, Luke chapter number 15. He says, Father, give me the portion. I want it. I want my inheritance. I can just see the conversation going on between the father and the son. The father probably said, just wait a little while. Wait a little while and I'll give you that inheritance. You don't need it right now. He's the younger son, by the way. But the young boy wouldn't listen. He went off into the far country. The Bible says he wasted his substance with riotous living. Wasted all of his physical inheritance. He wasted his spiritual inheritance. He wasted all of that. He got down to the end of himself. The story has a happy ending. He said, I'm going to go back to my father. You know, he's able to redeem himself and able to redeem the truth that he has sold. He got it back. Don't sell the truth. The truth has a charge that we must keep. It's got a charge. How do we keep the truth? Solomon has some imperatives for us. And wouldn't you know it, they all have to do with the heart. Man, always hitting on the heart. But that's where it's at. Boy, if you want to keep the truth, number one, you have to apply your heart to wisdom. That's in verse number 12. Apply thine heart to instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Apply your heart. You can get information all day long. I can stand here and preach to you till I'm blue in the face. I can give you verses and verses and verses, and it can be in your head, and you can have all that information, but if you don't apply your heart, you ain't going to keep the truth. You have to apply it to your life. You have to obey the Word of God. Not just hear preaching, but obey the Word of God. Has that information reached from your head to your heart yet? You put it into practice in your life? Have you made it a habit in your life? You have to apply your heart. Number two, you must guard your heart. Verse number 17. He says, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long." Don't envy sinners. You know those people that are going contrary to the book that you hold in your lap? Those people that hate the Word of God, don't envy them. Don't envy them. You know where it all starts? You know where all this envy stuff all starts? It all starts with considering. You start to consider their lives and consider their words. That's where it all starts. Now you can start, you can see sin, and come into your eye gate, and it not be a sin. You can be tempted to sin, and it still not be a sin. But you know where the sin comes in? You start considering. Well, you know, what's wrong with that? I saw him doing it on the internet. What's wrong with that? You start considering. You're letting a little information come in there. Breaking down those barriers and breaking down those walls that you put up. Well, it looks like fun. They're having fun. A little taste won't hurt it. Just a little bit. It's not going to hurt. Now, what's wrong with believing in that? You start considering. They seem like nice people. They're kind. They're nice. What's wrong with that? You start to consider. And then before you know it, you're envying sinners and saying, "Man, I want that life. We're on this Christian stuff. I'm selling the truth. I'm going that way." Don't envy sinners. Don't envy sinners. Number three, you should guide your heart. Verse number 19, he says, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way." Guide your heart. Steer your heart in the right direction. Steer your heart towards the affections of God. Steer it that way. Don't be putting stuff in front of your eyes that will take you away from God. Steer your heart in the right way. Because the more you put that stuff in front of your face, the more you're going to go away from God. Guide your heart in the way. All of the things that you take in affect your heart. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Guide your heart in the way. What direction are you steering your heart? Towards God or towards the world? Which way is it going? Guide your heart. And then number four, you must give your heart. Number 26, he says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." You know, that could be a charge for a parent too. Could you say that to your parents, or to your children? "Let your eyes observe my ways. Why don't you watch my life and follow my pattern?" Could you say that to your kids? He says, "Give me thine heart." It's good for a child to give their hearts to their parents. It's good. But once you get out from underneath your parents' roof and their authority, give your heart to God. Give your heart to God. Because it all has to do with the hearts. But too many kids that grow up in church and then they get out of church and they give their heart to the world. Give it to the world. There you go. You can have it. And they go that direction. Those are imperatives. What we need in our churches, what we need for everyone, is true conversion to Christ. True conversion to Christ. Keep the truth. Don't sell it. Let's pray.